Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are strapping on the technical gear and going deep. We're going to break down the fundamental specs that define, what makes a video actually look good.
That's right. We're talking about the big three: resolution, frame rate, and the formats that wrap it all up.
Compression.
Exactly. Compression. Our mission today is to give you that shortcut to understanding the trade-offs. You know, that constant battle between getting that crystal clear quality and dealing with these absolutely massive file sizes.
And once you get this, it's like a superpower. You'll understand exactly why that movie you streamed looked amazing, but a video your friend sent you looks, well, chunky.
A blurry mess, yeah. It all comes down to these decisions.
Okay, so let's start with the canvas itself, the foundation, resolution. Everyone talks about 4K, 8K, but what are we actually measuring here?
At its core, resolution is really just a measurement of detail. It's the number of pixels, the width times the height. In a single video frame, it's the raw visual information.
So the higher the numbers, the more detail you get.
Pretty much. But that detail comes at a cost. And that cost is always file size. It's a direct one-to-one correlation.
So let's put some numbers on that. What are we talking about going from old school TV to what we have now?
Well, standard definition, or SD, is tiny by today's standards. Think 720 by 576 pixels.
Barely anything.
Right. Then you have the big leap to HD, high definition, which is 1920 by 1080. That was the standard for a long time.
And now?
Now we're in ultra high definition. So 4K is roughly 4,000 pixels wide, usually 4096 by 2160. And 8K just doubles that again to a, frankly, mind-boggling 7680 by 4320.
That jump from 1080 to 4K is something like four times the pixels, which explains why the files get so huge so fast.
Yep.
But I want to dig into a little detail here. The thing that separates the pros from the novices, that little letter after the number. You see 1080p, but you used to see 1080i. What's the difference and why did P win?
Oh, that's a great point. That letter stands for the scan type. P is for progressive scan. Progressive means the screen draws every single line of pixels, top to bottom, in one single pass for every frame.
So you're getting the full picture every time.
Exactly. It's the gold standard for sharpness, especially on computer monitors and modern TVs. The older one, I, is for interlaced. This was a really clever trick back in the day to save bandwidth for broadcast TV.
A hack, basically.
Totally a hack. It only drew half a lines at a time. First the odd lines, then the even lines, and it would flicker between them so fast your brain filled in the gaps. But it could cause weird visual glitches, especially with fast motion. So today, progressive scan, that PIA, is what you want. It means you're getting true, full detail.
Right, so technology just got good enough that we don't need that bandwidth cheat anymore. But with these massive resolutions like 8K, isn't there a point of diminishing returns? I mean, does 8K really matter if you're just watching on your phone?
Absolutely not. Resolution is completely tied to your viewing experience, how big your screen is and how far away you are.
Pixel density.
Exactly. Pixel density.
Mm-hmm.
On a big 50-inch TV, 4K looks incredible because you can actually perceive that detail. On a phone, your eye physically can't distinguish all those extra pixels.
Yeah.
8K is really for massive screens, like cinema-level stuff. For most of us, 4K is more than enough.
Okay, so that covers the quality of a single static image, but video is all about motion. So let's shift from the canvas to the flow. Let's talk about frame rate.
Right, FPS, frames per second.
Hmm.
This is the other half of the quality equation. It's literally just a measure of how many of those individual frames we just talked about are displayed every single second.
And the higher the frame rate, the smoother the motion looks.
That's the key. Smoother motion, more perceived realism. There are a few key standards here. You got 24 FPS, which is the classic historical standard for movies.
Mm-hmm.
It has that slight blur that our brains just associate with cinema.
Right, the film look.
And the film look, yeah. Then you have 30 FPS, which is common for TV broadcasts. And then you get up to 60 FPS. And 60 FPS is really important for stuff with fast motion, think sports, action-packed video games.
But wait a second. If 60 FPS is smoother, shouldn't that just be the goal for everything? Maximum smoothness sounds better. Yet a lot of people, even famous directors, really don't like high frame rates for movies. Why is that?
That is a fantastic question, because this is where the tech specs bump up against, well, art and psychology.
Yeah.
While 60 FPS is technically smoother, it can create what people call the soap opera effect.
Right. It looks too real, almost cheap.
Exactly. It's a psychological thing. We've spent 100 years watching movies at 24 frames per second. That subtle motion blur feels grand. It feels fantastical.
Yeah.
When you show a fictional story at 60 FPS, the motion is so hyper-realistic that it breaks that illusion. It looks like you're watching a home video or a daytime TV drama. It's an aesthetic choice.
So it's a creative decision as much as a technical one. But no matter what you choose, the technical cost is still there. Higher frame rates mean bigger files.
Oh, absolutely. Double the frames, you've basically doubled the data for every second of video. If you're shooting 4K at 60 FPS, you are creating a data monster.
Which is the perfect segue. You have this monster file. How do you package it up so people can actually watch it? This brings us to compression and formats. Let's start with the two main types.
Right, so compression is basically what makes the modern internet possible. And you've got two flavors, lossless and lossy. Lossless is what the high-end production studios use. Think of it like a zip file. It shrinks the file size down without throwing any data away.
So when you open it back up, it's perfect. Every pixel is exactly where it was.
Perfect. It's essential for professional editing, where you can't afford any quality degradation. Formats like AVI are often used for this.
But that's not what we're streaming every day. We're all using the other kind.
Correct. We are all using lossy compression. This is where the algorithm starts permanently throwing data away to make the file dramatically smaller.
Okay, but it's not just randomly deleting things, right? It's smart about what it throws out.
It's incredibly smart. It primarily looks for two types of redundant data to get rid of. First is temporal compression. That's culling data over time. Instead of storing every frame in full, it stores one full keyframe. Then for the next bunch of frames, it only records the parts of the image that change.
So if someone is talking against a static background, it doesn't need to resave the background in every frame.
Precisely. It just saves the moving mouth and eyes. That saves a huge amount of space. The second method is spatial compression, which is about culling data within a single frame. A common trick here is reducing color information. Your eye is way more sensitive to brightness than it is to subtle shifts in color.
I have no idea.
Yeah. So the algorithm can throw out a bunch of the color data, and most people will never even notice. It's a biological hack.
But if you push it too far, that's when you start to see it, right? The blockiness, the pixelation.
That's it. Those are digital artifacts. And how much you see them comes down to one crucial setting we haven't talked about yet. Bias trait.
Okay, bias trait. This feels like the master control that ties all this together. What is it?
Bias trait is the amount of data being used to encode 1 second of video, usually measured in megabits per second, or MBPs. Think of it like a pipe. A high bias trait is a wide pipe. A low bias trait is a narrow pipe.
And you're trying to shove your video file through that pipe.
Exactly. If you have a huge 4K file and you force it through a tiny low bias trait pipe, the compression has to be super aggressive. It throws away tons of data and you get ugly artifacts. But if you give it a high bias trait, a nice wide pipe, the compression can be much more subtle. That's why a Blu-ray looks so good. It's using a much higher bias trait than a typical streaming service, even if they're both lossy.
So the format is just the container, but the bias trait is really what determines the quality inside. So let's talk containers. MP4 and WebM.
Right. So MP4 is the undisputed king of compatibility. It almost always uses a video codec called H.264. It's just universal. It works everywhere on every device. It has a great balance of quality and file size, which is why YouTube and everyone else recommends it.
But there's always something newer and better, right?
Always. And that's where you get things like WebM. WebM is an open source format built for the web. It often uses newer, more efficient codecs like VP9 or the really cutting edge one, AV1.
And more efficient means what? Same quality, smaller file?
Exactly that. Sometimes 30, even 50% more efficient than the old HD64. For a streaming company, that's a massive savings in bandwidth.
But there has to be a catch.
The catch is compatibility and processing power. These new codecs require more horsepower to decode on your device. So older phones or computers might struggle. MP4 with H.264 just works on everything. It's the reliable workhorse versus the new high-performance engine.
And that explains why older formats like MOV or WMV have kind of faded away.
It really does. They were often tied to one company, MOV for Apple, WMV for Windows. MP4 became the universal language that everyone could speak. It just won out.
So to wrap this all up, it seems like high-quality video is this three-legged stool. You need the fine detail from resolution.
The smooth motion from the frame rate.
And then you need the right compression, the right format, and crucially, enough bias trait to deliver it all without it falling apart.
You've got it. That's the whole game. And the key thing for you to take away is that every choice is a trade-off. Whether you're a creator choosing 24 FPS for a film look or a streamer pushing a super-efficient AV1 codec, you are always balancing quality, file size, and accessibility.
Understanding that balance is what makes you a savvy media consumer.
It really is.
And with that, here's a final thought to leave you with. We just established that the newest, most efficient codecs like AV1 save platforms a ton of bandwidth, but they require more processing power on your device to decode. The older, less efficient codecs are easier for your device to handle. So as we push for more and more efficiency, what does this tell us about the future? Are we just shifting the cost in terms of energy use and hardware requirements from the streaming platform directly onto the end user? We'll leave you with that one.